What?
Cute coffee cup that has stuff on it.
Oh, I don't know. I just picked one up there.
Oh, I thought it was special. It says what a teacher is.
Where's John?
He's got a study.
Let's go to Romans. Hopefully, we will not be spending as much time on each verse as we are on the first verse. Otherwise, we'll be here for, we'll have a 7-year Bible study of Romans.
What difference is it?
And we have some place we have to go when we get this done.
But there's so much important information in verse 1 that it's hard to overemphasize its importance. And we're probably going to go back and forth because I'd rather that John and the other Johns be here when we study what this one word means. But it's Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle. Notice that to be isn't in there in the verb. It's in italics. But again, even back there was always a separation made between the first 12 apostles and then everybody else afterwards. And so because of that distinction, even when the King James, they emphasized these 12. And so it's called an apostle, not called to be an apostle. And he's called an apostle for a lot of reasons that we'll go into later. But the big word here is called an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And the word separated is critical because it's a word that means, it's a word that makes you holy, as we've talked about so often, that sugar, whatever that thing is, if you put salt in it, it isn't holy. When it's used for what it's created to be, then it is holy. It's not the condition of, or how, or your sainthood, or all those words come from that hagios, which is the word meaning the fruit of being separated. You're separated. It's aphorizo. It means it's separated by a horizon that is distinct, and it's total. And it's in the verb tense. It's a perfect participle, which means it's a past completed action having present results. And so the gospel, you cannot by definition continue your life without being from the previous life, the previous human condition, because now you have been separated by a distinct and bright horizon, a dividing line that sets you apart from all other things. And that's why that we've talked about, if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. If you esteem the things that the world esteems, it's abomination unto God. So all he's saying, because there's a new condition, it's big. There's no way to overemphasize it. And once you have been separated, then every action, the whole, up until the time you're separated, you have the responsibility to do the best you can, to be all that you can be, to, you know, all the other cliches. But once the separation happens, absolutely nothing about you can be your business from that point on. And this is what will set, it's what set the first century church apart from the modern church. The first century, in the first century, they had been invaded by a new, completely new thing that didn't have anything to do with anything else. They were separated. And so when Paul was separated from his old life, he had no, there was no reference except when he spoke as a fool to his past life. And so everything depends on this. Are you separated? Otherwise, you're just going to try to have self-fulfillment now in the name of God. You're going to continue on in this self-fulfillment mode, which is the hardwiring. Self-realization, what can I do to get better? What can I do to get more? And so everything is dependent on whether or not you are have been separated. Is that clear? This is big. That's why Jesus said, many shall come to me in that day saying, Lord, Lord, we have done. We have done. You know, ad nauseum. In your name. And he shall say, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. You, because iniquity, in self-seeking, you continued on in your self-seeking in my name. And so I never knew you. Now, there's no way to talk about how important this separated is. It is everything. Because it defines it without that separation, there's never any capacity to hear. And that's why the preaching of the cross is the power of God, because it is your death. Then it's everything after that is dependent on the power of God. It's no longer dependent on your mood or your looks or your anything else. It has nothing to do with you. You're simply the vessel of mercy. And periodically you may return to being a vessel of wrath because you got something, you get concerned about yourself. Some of you will know a lot about this. Because the I motive continually tries to attack you. What?
The cross itself is the instrument of the separation.
Right.
And without that preaching, it's another gospel. It's a gospel of information.
Yeah, it's a
inspiration, whatever.
Yeah, it's whatever. I mean, it's always, you know, whether it's prosperity gospel or the seeker sensitive or the emerging or all of those things are all having to do with somehow improving your lot as a human being and having confidence that something as a human being will happen after you die.
And it's all using the same words, same book, same language, everything, but it's missing that one.
Well, it has nothing to do with the reality. That's why, you know, any time you use the Bible or the doctrine, either as an instrument of attack or as an instrument of defense or as an instrument for any reason, that's the tell in the cosmic poker game that you have returned to you've lost your first love. You've returned to this state of being that had you as the subject. And so you can get by with it. You can act like you're in this other state of being. But that's why it's so important to live in community, because not community that you define while we're, you know, now the word community has lost its meaning, but that you lay your life down in an intimate group of people and you make known what's going on. Not so that there can be a solution, but so that you can be exhorted while it's still called a day to pick up the cross. But everything is dependent on this word, separated. Now, it's in this particular verb tense, which means it was completed a long time ago. But you have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you might see that it was completed a long time ago. So there's absolutely nothing that you have to do. There are no rules of behavior. There are no anything, because it's all dependent on him, unless you get in the way again. Then he can't fight your efforts. I hope you, it's so simple. Let nothing, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, let nothing confuse you from the simplicity that is in Christ. He alone can live his life. You cannot help him. And the minute you are concerned with what's going to happen to you next, then you've returned to the I motive. And you've left the separation and returned to the old state of being. And as the scriptures talk, the one that was whose head was bruised by the deadly head wound, you've resurrected. Now let's go back there. Let's go back to Genesis, the beginning of it all. What?
Well, this makes me think about labor to enter into the rest. That you're describing the rest, and the labor
is everything else.
I'm looking back now and realizing that the labor was me struggling against me.
And patience, that's the role of a teacher, to reveal the people that are opposing themselves, which is just crazy. Where did I say to go? Genesis. Genesis 3. Let's read about the curse again. Now that serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Okay, and again, remember the idea of touching it is the idea so that it has no more romance. I don't know how to talk about that any differently, but it has no more attraction. There's no more romance. It has no more. You have no more interest in it because you've touched it and it didn't. You have, in a sense, in one sense, you have dominion over it, but not like the. Dominion means it doesn't influence you. It has no basis in your life anymore. Is that clear? And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And that's the only time... We never get to where I'm going if I keep doing that. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. And gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig trees together, and made themselves aprons. Now they knew that they were naked. That's huge. They knew that they should be in a position different than they were. Now if there is anything about you that you think you should change, then who is telling you you're naked? If there is anything about you, if there is the slightest voice that you pay and the slightest heed to that tells you you need to be different than you are, who told you you were naked? The serpent did. And because of that, then you're continually... You've been separated, but you continually go back across the line. Because you've got this, oh, poor me, you're a victim of the universe. Oh, poor me, I should be different than I am. Oh, poor me, I should be this or that. And it's a stench in the nostrils of God. because you think what you're saying to God is you are so important. You are so special. Even in your alleged humility or timidity, and you're saying to God that the sacrifice of His Son wasn't enough for you. Now that's huge. And every time you get anxious, you get nervous, you get fearful, whatever other thing that you might think you can possibly get, you're saying to God, instead of repenting, turning from self completely, you are deceived by the subtleness of the serpent to put your eyes on yourself so that you know that you're naked. You're naked in this area. Does that communicate? Can you see why the only battle is against yourself? And you get so sincere with all these reasons. Well, you know, this, I won't mention any names. This thing just came on me. So you're a victim of yourself. Or, I just had this dream. No. Or, I woke up in the night fears. Whatever it is. Do you see that repentance is the only response?
That sentence about God's sacrifice wasn't sufficient for this particular.
Yeah, because you're so special.
Yeah, and it's so big and it's so powerful that it overcame that sacrifice.
Can you see why Jesus said, "If you preach the gospel, you shall be hated of all men"? Is it possible to see that?
I can see that it's finished when you're called and that the struggle is just resisting it.
To think there's a struggle, even. And I'm not saying there isn't, but I'm saying that's how we're deceived because we think we're...
Whereas if you do it.
We're doing something. We're struggling. We're mighty men of faith.
Christ.
All right.
Well, that's pretty much what Jacob went through, though. That was a struggle, like when he fought the angel until he gave up and
admitted who he was.
We do that right. Yeah, because we know what he did, we don't have to go through that.
That's
right. We can see it. We go, wow.
I'm of the evil one. I am the Antichrist. I am the instead of Christ.
Yeah.
And see, now we just walk out, just take off.
That's it. He's heading down.
And they heard the voice. So they sewed together fig leaves and made themselves aprons or coverings. And that's all you do in your mind, is you keep putting on more fig leaves and aprons so that you can exist, and so that nobody can see your pathological loneliness. You're dying of this aloneness. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And that's all every human being has done since this time. They've hid themselves behind the trees and made aprons of leaves. And show me which of these green trees you haven't committed fornication in. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, or thy belly shall lead you, is an equal translation. And dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And this is why it's so important. When Job repented, he abhorred himself, and he repented in the dust and in the ashes. He saw that that's what he was. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Now he's saying this to the serpent. Now if you believe in talking snakes, then and you can have, you know, your little comic book theology. But if you believe the scriptures, that snake is your mind. That instead of Christ. That's why Paul said, called him. That's what Jesus called him. That's what John the Baptist called him. He wasn't speaking in some grand metaphor when he said, You generation of vipers. That means you sons of the snake. And that's the human race.
And that is the seed of Satan.
Here, let's go. No, let's go on. And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. The seed of woman is a unique. This you can't say this because it's the zeruah or the seed, the sperm of woman. Well, it's the only time that's happened is in the virgin birth. This is why the virgin birth is so critical to understand that a new creation happened. By the sperma of God at the new birth. And so, when it says, it shall bruise thy head, the word bruise means much, much more there than, well, you've got a little boo-boo where your sister hit you. No, this is, it shall bruise thy head. The seed of woman shall totally overcome, kill you from this head wound. And thou shalt bruise his heel. The seed of woman's heel shall be bruised, i.e., it affects the way he walks, but it doesn't. It's like an ant or a fire ant bit him or something. So it all goes back to this. This seed of woman shall overcome, bruise, kill the head of the serpent. And the only problem we have is defining who that is. If you believe comic books, then you will continue on in your little self-improvement ways and blame everything on somebody else. Oh, mommy beat me, or daddy wasn't nice to me, or I didn't know my daddy, or blah, 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 blah. My mother died at birth, or any of the infinite number of possible reasons that you use as excuses for your crap. It's just, that's what it is. It's crap. You were called in him. From before the foundation of the world. He has wrought all the works in you, waiting patiently for you to see this singular mystery. That now you've seen the futility and emptiness, you've seen all this, and now the head of the serpent is overcome or killed or dead. And now the seed of the woman to whom the promise is due, as can be revealed, can arise in his temple. You. Are you continue to hide? Are you going to continue to hide in the trees of the garden? Making for yourselves more and more little aprons, trying to get it right? Or are you just going to joyfully abandon yourself to the love of God? Live only by his faith. There's no in between. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That's not something to be tried to get. Do you understand why this separated is so important? You lose a reference to yourself. Otherwise, you're going to spend your whole life hiding in the garden, believing somebody's, all the voices that are telling you you're naked. What?
Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, it just covers the whole book.
Amen. That's why this, I mean, it's really the whole Bible is like this. If we had ears to hear, eyes to see. What's going on, Gary?
Well, the word, the separation, it's, I'm thinking of it in terms of perspective of the size of man versus the size of God, and the separation is that big. It's as big as it can get, as wide as it can be. It's as different as anything ever was.
And they're not of the same nature.
Yes, yeah, it's one kingdom and another, and they don't blend. They don't have anything to do with each other. And the only thing that's trying to say different is this, which wants a connection. You know, just wants to
keeps trying
life.
To stay alive. Yeah. Trying to resurrect itself from the deadly end wound.
Yeah.
We'll create these weird theologies and start infinite numbers of wars and crusades.
And anything.
And we have for 2,000 years. Let nothing, as the servant Bigal leave, let nothing confuse you from the simplicity that is in Christ. It's done. It's finished. You're separated. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. The love of God, which is in Christ. But if you return you to the picture, then you're automatically separated. You have to act like God loves you, and you have to act like you love God, and you have to act like you love your neighbors, and just gets so boring. And you have to try to satisfy people. Oh, God. Try to be a nice guy. Oh, I'm pretty nice. Sometimes. Take a big guy. Has there been a princess sighting?